It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Mystery, coming up in this hour, later on from Pat Novak for Hire from 1949. But first, an episode of Barry Craig Confidential Investigator with the story Angel of Death from January 1st, 1955 on NBC.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
It's okay to cut a competitor down a few notches, but never cut him 6 feet lower than the soles of his feet. That's no longer fair competition, folks. That's murder.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. One way of landing a client is to fish him out of the river, which is exactly how I commenced my confidential file in a character named Richie Stimson. I jumped with my shoes on. I found Stimson's hat before I found Stimson. Nobody rescues a hat, so I didn't. When Stimson finally bobbed into reach, he promptly stuck one thumb in my eye and the remaining one in my jugular vein. Another thing nobody wants to do is drown in a stranger's embrace. When his jaw came up flush with the surface, I landed on it. He lay quietly on his back now, spouting water from the mouth like Moby Dick, and I began floating him to shore. On shore, the closest shelter we could find was a junk dealer's basement store. I stuck Moby Dick right up against the stove so he could dry out. Stand there till the icicles melt, Buster. Then I got my shoes off. Oh, squish. I'd been really walking in canal boats. Rescue a guy from drowning, you expect his first speech to be thank you, but not this joker.
My car. Hey, what about my car?
Oh, I'm keeping it as a souvenir of the occasion.
Hey, it's a brand new job.
The fish will be pleased to know. Lean close a minute, Buster.
Lean?
That's close enough. I want to smell your breath. Hmm.
I wasn't drunk going through that guardrail. Get that idea out of your head.
Just lousy driving, huh?
Yeah, it's coming back to me now.
What is?
That same feeling I've been getting lately. Dopey all of a sudden. And the blues, like I'm depressed. Up here, something starts fogging up.
In your head?
Yeah. Makes me want to shut my eyes, like I've been on a weekend toot and now I got to sleep.
And do you shut your eyes?
I don't know.
Buster.
What?
Confidentially, who are you?
Richie Stimson.
Chauffeur,
used to be.
And now?
A husband.
That's your occupation?
Yeah, that is.
Oh.
Who are you?
Barry Craig. I'm a detective.
Well, you know.
And where can I bill you?
Bill me for what?
A suit of clothes, look.
Oh, yes, torn. Hey, you sure it wasn't torn before?
Now, that's what I call gratitude.
4721F Park Avenue. Send me the numbers and I'll write out a check.
Where? Park Avenue?
Man, what's the surprise?
Well, your kisser has got 10th Avenue on it.
So I moved east 7 blocks.
So you married east 7 blocks. I mailed Stimson my bill for suit of clothes and a new pair of shoes. And surprise of surprises, I got a prompt reply in the return mail. Addressee's name on it, Stimson, with the Park Avenue address. Well, there was a check in it, but not exactly for $100 I had politely requested. The check had an extra zero on it, $1,000. Check signed, Natalie Stimson. I read the short note that came with it.
Dear Mr. Craig, a small token of my gratitude for the wonderful thing you did for my husband. Signed, Mrs. Natalie Stimson. And there was a postscript. I would very much like to meet you at your convenience. $1,000 was the most elegant persuasion I knew. Information? I'd like the phone number of a golden angel. Her name? Oh. Mrs. Natalie Stimson, 472 and a half, Park Avenue. We met at a rendezvous at the lady's insistence, not mine. An out-of-the-way, private, for members only joint called the Club Socrates, where people dined lying down on couches like the old Roman nobility. The maitre d'hotel wore a toga, and the slant-eyed waitresses were all made up to resemble Cleopatra. Natalie tried to clear up my confusion.
It's a revival of old Roman dining habits, Barry. It's the newest fad.
Imagine.
It restores eating to what it should be.
And what's that?
Well, life's most gratifying experience. A sheerly exotic...
Enough said.
So, kick your shoes off, lie back on the couch, and luxuriate. Really enjoy it, Barry.
So tell me.
Tell you?
Why we're wallowing here.
Oh, I want to talk to you about Richie.
Oh, your ex-chauffeur and present husband. It's his unaccountable depressions. You worry over them.
Richie's told you about them?
You sound surprised.
Well, I am, for Richie to confide so quickly.
Well, I'm a guy people right away confide in. He says he gets, dopey all of a sudden. Gets the blues, becomes depressed. And then up here in the beans, something starts fogging up, unquote.
His reflexes go awry. He loses sense and coordination. I've seen it happen time and again.
Well, give me an example.
What? Well, in entering my dad's brokerage office some weeks ago, Richie burst through the door but continued going across the room. He didn't stop at Dad's desk.
And where did he continue on to?
Right through the window.
How far did he fall?
Two stories. The miracle was he landed on a terrace on the 26th story.
Otherwise, 28 floors to the sidewalk.
Otherwise, a horrible death. What do you make of it?
Well, I could go medical and call it an unconscious suicide wish, but I won't say it.
Then what do you say?
I say hand Richie over to a doctor.
But he's been to doctors.
Doctors in the plural?
Six doctors this year.
What did the last chap say?
That Richie's a normal neurotic.
Yet he's accident prone.
Accident prone? Those are exactly the words the other fellow, the lay analyst, used.
So keep him under glass. Don't let him roam around.
Now, is that practical advice?
Maybe not. Now, besides sympathy, what do you want of me?
I want you to be Richie's man friend.
Come again?
See, I've got my own theory about Richie.
That being?
That he's a cat in a strange alley. He needs someone around him to feel at home with, someone who talks his language.
Same being a slob like me, huh?
I'll pay $1,000 a week.
For me to chum around with Richie?
Room with him, play gin rummy with him, go off to burlesque shows, all the things Richie used to enjoy doing.
And for how long am I Damon to his Pythias?
1 month. 1 month for $4,000.
Sold.
And you'll do it?
For $4,000, I'd swim underwater to Siam. And that's how I came to move over to Park Avenue. But not without protests from my newfound buddy.
Get your hat and scram out of here.
If I do that, I'm unemployed.
Hey, who's paying you? My father-in-law?
I haven't met him yet.
Natalie?
Natalie.
So, Natalie hires you to watch over me, huh?
Oh, you got that wife in a million.
Hey, what's Natalie paying you?
Oh, a mere $1,000 a week.
$500.
What happened to my other $5?
I just cut in for it.
You did?
Yeah. I could use more dough. They're keeping me on short rations.
And if I get stubborn about my whole $1,000?
We're not best friends no more. You run out of here like a thief. You're unemployed. Bum. Okay?
Okay, partner.
I'll give you a horse. You run your $5 back to $1,000.
Decent of you.
Hey, what do we do today?
Anybody for the zoo?
Zoo, my eye. Hey, I know what.
So do I.
Oh, hey, you're not a mind reader.
Your mind reads easy. The Crescent Burlesque House over in Hoboken.
What do you know? You are a mind reader at that.
That was the chauffeur-turned-blueblood in one of his optimistic moods. I also got him in his pessimistic moods, and right on top of breakfast.
Hey, the fox coming up. It's
beating at my eyeballs.
You're depressed today.
I feel lousy. Boy, how lousy I feel.
Hating the world and yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Hey, will you look? I can't even tie my shoelaces.
Hand shaking?
Yeah, like that head mom over at the Crescent last night.
Reflexes all shot, huh?
Who knows about reflexes?
Now, look, hold one arm out straight in front of you.
Huh? Okay. Now what?
Close your eyes.
So they're closed.
Now bring a finger back and touch the tip of your nose.
Touch the tip? Oh!
Trouble?
I jabbed my finger in my eye.
Couldn't find your own nose, huh?
Hey, what does that mean?
Your coordination's off.
Way off?
Way, way off.
Hey, what does it to me, huh?
Well, ask a doctor.
Oh, I've been to doctors. I've been tapped with little hammers, x-rayed. I've been laying on couches and talking myself hoarse.
Talking about what?
Oh, anything that came in my head. Psychiatry, this was. About kid days, my old lady. The time Lefty Louie came at me with a butcher knife. Over broad, this was. And, about Miss Curran.
Miss Curran?
Yeah, my teacher, 4B. I used to dream about her a lot. I figured to marry her when I grew up.
So why didn't you?
Well, at the time I was in 4B, she was 72. No, what I got in for doctors, I tried them. Hey, what we do today, huh?
We'll stay indoors and play gin. Leave us not tempt your reflexes. Richie had been to doctors, but I hadn't. So I tried one, an old friend. He'd roomed with my aunt once while serving his internship. Dr. Dingle Spieler. A nice little guy who kept his beard buttoned in his vest.
You say he has been to doctors?
Six. He's run the gamut, from cardiography to psychoanalysis.
Well, it's very strange that there was no recommended therapy. The symptomology seems to be clear.
Meaning?
The disorientation. The damage to the nervous system.
Talk to me in English, not Greek.
Either the man has a detectable nervous disorder or he is in a psychosis.
As simple as that. I mean, medically speaking. A good physician should see what bothers Richie Stimson by eye. A head doctor could do it by ear.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely apple pie for a doctor to diagnose.
Now look, apple pie is for the cook and the kitchen.
Okay, then say easy to diagnose.
There is perhaps one simple conclusion to come to. Speaking for the doctors, I mean.
And that is?
That your friend had none of these symptoms you have described at precisely those times when the doctors examined him.
Had none of the symptoms at the time of examination?
Yeah.
I'll need time to figure that one out, Doc. Tell me, which branch of medicine is more apt to be mistaken?
The nerve specialist can be sure.
Meaning the head doctor has a bigger margin of error.
Well, psychic sickness is a more experimental medicine. It is, shall we say, in a stage of development.
And Richie Stimson is in a stage of disintegration. Well, thanks for your time, Doc. If I said I wasn't twice as confused as when I came in, I'd be lying. Well, so long. I trotted myself over to 10th Avenue for a peek into Richie Stimson's background. A look into his case history, as the science books put it. I figured out a chat with his folks, if he had any, or his neighborhood priest. But I found a brother. The lettering on the window of the fish store read, Waldo Stimson, Fresh Fish. I found Waldo in a bloody apron, chopping away at a sea monster that looked like a barracuda. Now, stop chopping and let's talk about your brother, Richie.
Richie, I got one word that ends a conversation.
And the word?
Snob.
He's been high-hatting you?
Fox, that snazzy car of his in front of my fish store and sits behind the wheel smoking a cigar. The louse just sits out there, rubbing it in.
Rubbing what in?
The butts. How he's got them, and I ain't.
Oh. Answer a question or two for me, huh?
Shoot.
Was Richie physically fit?
Strong as a bull. You should have seen how he broke Dobie Delahanty's jaw. Bang, one sock.
Well, was he subject to headaches and accidents?
I don't get you.
Did he ever fall over his own feet, or fall down the stairs, walk into a plate glass window?
Richie, not on your life, bub. Came to moving around, he was 200%. Champ basketball player and ice hockey. Why, the pros were hustling him to sign a contract.
Then generally well-coordinated. Sharp eyesight and the rest of it?
Sharp eyesight? You saw the chick he grabbed off himself.
Yeah, upper-class Natalie. Well, tell me, how do you figure he swung that?
Well, you come to making out, Richie was a conniver. There wasn't a day he didn't have a scheme going for himself.
Shady or strictly legit?
Both ways, depending. Any way Richie could better himself, why, that was it. Hey, look, you're taking up my time. I got fish to sell.
You got a 3-pound Siberian herring?
Siberian herring? What do you know? I'm fresh out of them.
That led me to the father-in-law, C. Lindsay Bernard, broker. I wanted to know how come the uppercase Bernard had sanctioned his daughter's marriage to the family chauffeur. I found Bernard, senior, behind a mahogany desk the size of a tennis court. A cigar in his mouth, almost reached out into the hall to the elevator.
Yes, your question, Craig, has definite point, but not with me.
Well, why not?
There's no snobbery in the veins of C. Lindsay Bernard. Not a drop of it, sir. We're a tribe of great commoners. Why, my father cleaned sewers, and his father sold pots and pans along the Great American Highway.
Then you approved of Richie Stimson?
Oh, heartily, sir. You might say I cheered him up that middle aisle to the marriage altar. I favored Richie over Byron Follansbe. Yes, sir, a red-blooded young man like Richie. Why, I abetted his cause with Natalie. I am against the rich inbreeding with the rich. Very bad for progeny. Transmits white blood cells. Offsprings are anemic.
Cut. My ears are bent. While we're on this high-level talk, a quotation comes to my head. Something we used to recite in school, Mr. Bernard, from Shakespeare.
Oh, always a pleasure to hear Shakespeare quoted. The quotations, huh?
Methinks you plead too hard.
Is that a sneer at my veracity?
It could be.
Why, you foul-mouthed, low-born peasant.
And a minute ago, you were the guy advertising himself as the great commoner. From Bernard Sr.'s office, I drove back to Park Avenue to resume with Richie Stimson. We had big plans for the evening. A repeat of the night before, the Crescent Burlesque over in Hoboken. At 472 and a half Park Avenue, I found Richie already downstairs on the street. On the sidewalk, a few feet away from the big front door canopy. Top hat on him and tails, as if he couldn't wait to get going to Hoboken. Only thing, he was the last guy I'd want to be seen out with, not the condition he was in. Flat on his back with a seepage of blood dyeing his clothes red. A crowd of morbid gapers packed around him and an ambulance on its way to the scene. No, sir, no date. I couldn't see myself watching a girly show with a corpse. One byproduct of death you can be absolutely sure of is a widow's tears.
Richie. Oh,
and Natalie sure wept, tears cascading down her until the little chiffon item she was wearing clung to her like a bathing suit after a dip in the ocean. A show of grief in a bereaved father-in-law comes harder. Either it's unmanly to cry or C. Lindsay Bernard was a Phi Beta Kappa in the art of self-control. The only thing that occurred to him to do was abuse me.
Richie died because of your negligence, Craig. Your default of duty. You weren't hired to gad about making ridiculous inquiries. You had explicit duties. You were paid to stay with Richie. Never let him out of your sight.
The guy is slated to walk off an outside terrace 18 stories up. Comes a time when he does it. There's only one chap really watching him 24 hours a day.
One chap?
The Angel of Death. The brother of the deceased can usually muster a tear or two.
Poor kid.
Death softened you toward your brother Richie, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't got no hard feelings now. Who's she set up like this here? Look at them drapes and that chandelier. Imagine walking out on it.
Walking off a terrace into space 18 stories over the sidewalk.
Yeah. What a way to go.
Your beautifully coordinated brother. The kid with sharp eyesight and trained reflexes.
Oh, about that, I didn't exactly feature the right dope on Richie that time we talked. I sort of left something out.
You did?
Yeah, you know, something that came back to mind. You see, Richie was a big one for accidents. All the time falling down cellars or fire escapes. And your pains here in the head, always with a wet towel and the ice pack on his bean. You get me, huh?
Better than you think, Waldo. Tell me something.
What?
Who's paying you to lie to me, and how much are you getting?
Suppose I am in the way of a few bucks. No harm to nobody. Why should I pass it up?
Because your brother was set up to accidentally kill himself. Or be murdered.
Murdered? Now, how could that be?
Say a push off that terrace.
But you don't know that.
No, I don't. But pushed or fell, either way, it's murder.
But he'd been dopey all the time, tripping over his own feet. You yourself told me that.
Yeah, dopey and so forth. And I've got an explanation for that.
What?
Drugs. Somebody's been feeding Richie drugs in his drink and in his food. Drugs that work havoc on his reflexes for a time, then dissipate into the bloodstream, so that he seems okay during medical examinations.
Yeah, but who be feeding him drugs?
Who offered you a bribe to suddenly remember that Richie was accident-prone?
Two of them did. Natalie and her old man.
I only got a piece of the truth from Natalie.
I didn't marry Richie. He married me.
What was the blackmail threat that got you to say yes?
As my father's chauffeur, he...
Got something on your father? Some business irregularity your father could be liable to prosecution for, that it? Okay. Clam up pending advice of counsel. I'm content to let the whole story wait on the autopsy.
The autopsy?
The one I'm ordering to be done immediately. To determine the nature of the drug that got Richie drowsy and dopey enough to walk off that terrace into cold space. This one hasn't had time yet to really dissipate into the bloodstream, beautiful.
I was insane never hire you.
People are all the time hiring me as a cover for their cute operations. I can be hired, baby, but not bought. Hired, but not bought. I'm sure you understand the difference. You've been to college.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from January 5th, 1955. The program would fold that June after about 4 years on the air, and its competitors on Wednesday nights at 8:30 were other crime and mystery shows. On Mutual, it was Sentenced, and on CBS, the police procedural program 21st Precinct. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a program featuring one of the pioneers, if not the father of the police procedural, on the air. That's Jack Webb, starring as Pat Novak for Hire. Broadcast just about a month before Webb's Dragnet was introduced on radio for the first time. This episode called Rita Malloy, from May 1st, 1949 on ABC.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak, for Hire.
Oh.
that's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for hire. Down on the waterfront in San Francisco, billing doesn't mean much. Everybody's got the same act. They're all out to turn a fast buck, and when you're in business down here, everything but murder is a parlor trick. Once in a while, your eyelids get sore from winking it too much, but it's a living. You get to meet the best people in town. I closed up early Tuesday night, and I went home to catch up on last month's sleep. I don't know how long I was in bed. Must have been about 11 when I woke up. The room was dark and as stale as last year's Christmas candy. I had the goofy feeling that somebody was in the room with me. I was breathing kind of hard, and I stopped to have a listen. Somebody was sitting on my bed. Either that or the landlord had put in an echo. I listened again.
Hello, Novak.
You're mixed up, friend. I pay the rent here.
Get your hands away from the light, Novak. Just be a good boy, and you can collect your old age pension.
Now, look, I'm not crazy about waking up with strangers sitting on my bed, especially if they got baritone voices. Now, say your piece and beat it.
Don't get jumpy, mister. When your eyes get used to the dark, you're going to see a gun about a foot away from your nostrils. I want the keys to your boat, Novak.
Get them in the morning at 25 bucks a smell.
I want them now. Just tell me where they are. I'll do the rest.
Don't get big-hearted.
I don't want chatter and cocktails. I want those keys. Unless you want your face to look like a rump roast, you'll start talking.
The keys are in the bottom drawer of the desk.
That's the boy. Gonna borrow your boat a while. You'll get it back by noon tomorrow. There's the boat keys.
Two of them are. The rest open the front door of the U.S. Mint.
Sorry I can't stay around, Novak. You sound like a card. Sleep tight, Novak. This will have to do for a lullaby.
He didn't even give me time to pick a dream. I stretched out on the floor as dead as a Philadelphia nightclub. Must have been a couple of hours, because when the phone rang, it was past midnight. I reached over to pick it up, but my hands were as steady as a maple leaf in a hurricane, and my head was big enough to sell by the pound. I finally found it in the dark and started talking. Hello?
Hello, Novak. This is Joe Powers down at Pier 19. You awake?
Sure.
You sound groggy.
No, it's a sedative. What's on your mind?
One of your boats just drifted in. Guess what?
I don't have to. It smashed up when you want to offer me 50 bucks salvage.
That's right, Novak. You're psychic.
I'm a patsy, you mean. Some gunsel borrowed the boat a couple of hours ago. Came in here, told me a bedtime story, and took the keys.
Well, you better hop right down here.
It'll keep, Joe.
No, it won't. Hurry up or you'll run a dead heat with homicide. There's a dead guy in the boat.
Well, it must be my playmate.
I don't know. He didn't say. But you better grab a cab and get on down here. There's going to be a lot of questions.
Sure. If you meet any good answers, save a couple for me. From now on, there was no waste motion. I knew that. If homicide was on the case, that meant Inspector Hellman. Well, he's a real nice guy, if you like his type. I had to do something soon. If I didn't, I'd have about as much chance as a pound of liver at a cat show. So I jumped into some clothes, and I was starting out of the apartment when I missed my wallet. The keys were attached, and that gunsel had taken the whole works. I began to get mad. For 70 bucks, you can get a scotch hangover instead of the kind I had. And if you're lucky, a couple of good memories. So when I drew up at Pier 19, it didn't look like the sunny side of the street. Joe Powers was waiting for me.
You got the first round, Patsy. Homicide hasn't showed yet.
I'm full of luck tonight. Where's the boat?
Oh, right over here.
Lots of fog tonight, huh, Joe?
You're walking on it. Well, there it is. How's your insurance, Patsy?
All right, except I'm not carrying any on that dead guy. Who is he, Joe?
I don't know. He's your passenger. You roll him.
All right, give me a hand. No, push him over on the other side, will you, so I can get in the pocket?
Is he the same guy that took the keys?
I don't know. If he is, he never looked lovelier. There's nothing in this pocket. This one's empty except for a comb. He sure spent my 70 bucks in a hurry. Must have thrown in the wallet for a nightcap.
No identification.
We should have bought a scorecard.
Hey, Hey, here on the floor. It's a key.
Let me see that, Joe. Room 425, Royal Arms Hotel.
Where is it?
That's a dive down on Turk Street. Well, say hello to Homicide for me.
Oh, you're not bright tonight, Novak.
Well, I'm not going to stay around here. They'll pick me up faster than a gin fizz. Well,
what am I going to tell them?
Anything you like, Joe. Shift into freewheeling and let them follow, but I'm not going to hang around for a pinch. I'm one boat and 70 bucks short.
Tell it to Homicide.
I don't like manual labor that much. See you later. I started for the Royal Arms Hotel. On the way, I picked up the only honest guy I know. A bottle baby by the name of Jocko Madigan. He's a good man, except he thinks it's a waste of the taxpayers' money to put alcohol in torpedoes. I hauled him out of the Hunt Room bar, and we walked down the street to the Royal Arms Hotel. It was the perfect spot for a missionary. The lobby looked like the first act of rain. There was a pinball machine in one corner, a couple of last year's girls in this year's slacks, and a bleary-eyed little night clerk. He looked like a well-groomed laundry bag, and he gave us the fisheye as we started upstairs. Room 425 was down at the end of the hall. Jocko didn't care if we ever got there.
Patsy, we have no business coming up here. We're in search of fool's gold.
Or in search of my 70 bucks.
Exactly. I view you as my penance, Patsy, the sackcloth for a misspent life.
If you can shake off that buzz, you'll find out I'm in trouble.
You'll always be in trouble because you're a patsy, and you're dangerous because you move in the twilight zone between good and evil without any predisposition toward either one.
Yeah, all right. Here it is. 425. Nobody home. Let's go in.
It's housebreaking.
Now, look, Jocko, I want my 70 bucks. I'm going in.
Patsy, sometimes you terrify me. I think you'd pick the lock to the gates of heaven.
I would if they had my 70 bucks. Come on. The guy's dead down in my boat. We won't hurt his feelings. We'll just snooze around a minute and get up. It was a pretty room if you like dead women on your rugs. She was stretched out in a pale yellow dressing gown, as quiet as an April morning and twice as pretty. A dull red scar ran across her temple where somebody had laid an iron shovel. She didn't belong in this hotel because she was wearing a necklace and a bracelet that left a gap in somebody's pocket. And from the ringside, she looked all right. Jocko noticed it, too.
She has lots of character.
Yeah, but where's my 70 bucks?
She's a nightclub dancer.
How do you know?
Her picture's plastered all over the wall there. She's the headliner at El Palateo, Miss Rita Malloy.
I wonder who the guy on the desk is there.
Boyfriend, probably. Let's get out of here, Patsy.
Oh, wait a minute. How about that dead guy in the boat? Where does he fit in?
I'll listen to that one, Novak.
Oh, Hellman.
What happened to the girl? She died laughing at you?
It's Rita Malloy, a piece of change from the El Palateo.
Uh-huh. Got a hat, Novak?
Nope.
Then you're all ready. Come on.
Oh, get your brain lined up and look at her. She's been dead a couple of hours.
You're still eligible, Novak. On your way down, you can explain that guy at Pier 19.
Oh, you can't be that dumb, Hellman.
I'm smart enough to see you peeking over the eight ball. You look like a 10-to-1 shot, Novak, and I got my money on you all the way.
If you're going to make this thing add up, you can't do it alone.
I'll try.
Yeah, well, that's what Furpo said. So I don't look good on this one. I'll look worse if I leave it up to you. You couldn't find a hangnail if you knew what hand it was on.
You got 24 hours, Novak. I'm going to piece things together, and then I'm going to make a pinch. Pick out a soft spot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Stay near the phone. If it rings and a man answers, that'll be homicide. Good night.
Hellman was right. I looked like a sure bet for the rotogravure section. I was beginning to run out of silver linings, and I knew it. I didn't have an answer for anything. The guy in the boat was still a stranger, and Rita Malloy was still dead. I was sitting in the middle of a high-stake game with a pair of trays. When we left the hotel room, I had the funny feeling that there was something wrong back there. I didn't know what. I just knew there was something wrong, the way you feel when you pick up the wrong hat and put it on. The position of the body, those pictures on the desk, I didn't know, but there was one detail that didn't set right. Well, I told Jocko to hang around headquarters, and I started for the El Palateo. It was like all the rest, a little melancholy bar on Mason, a fire trap with a cover charge. The decor looked like early Franco. The floor show was on as I fought my way up to the bar. Excuse me, please. I'm sorry, lady. Can I get through here, please? How about a drink?
Your idea. What do you want?
Scotch.
Soda or water?
water. You've got a nice club here.
We like it. 80 cents.
Too bad about Rita Malloy.
Yeah?
You don't seem heartbroken about it.
I'm not a mother. 80 cents.
Anything wrong, Eddie?
No, boss. This guy's crying in his beer about Rita Malloy.
Oh. I'm Manny Ryan.
You own the club?
A piece of it.
My name's Novak. Call me Patsy at the moment. The police think I killed Rita Malloy.
When do you go on trial, Mr. Novak?
I don't. That's why I came down here, to find out which one of your people killed her.
I see.
She was mixed up to her ears with some thick hoodlum.
You, Mr. Novak?
No, a guy right out of your set. He came rolling in with the tide this morning, playing rigor mortis all over my boat.
Look, Novak, you better go see someone else to tell your troubles to. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, well, so am I, getting out of a murder rap. You knew her, Ryan. In fact, I got an idea you knew her pretty well.
Let's not talk that way about the dead.
Your picture splattered all over her apartment. Were you engaged to her?
That's one way of putting it.
You better have a big fat alibi ready for tonight. Homicide's going to think you killed her.
I'm betting on you for the finals, Novak. I don't need an alibi. She was a friend of mine.
That's why you need one. People just hate their enemies, but they kill their friends.
You better stay out of the public library, Patsy. You're not smart enough to understand epigrams.
I'm smart enough to find out where you were from 10 o'clock until midnight.
Go ahead. Circle around the club. But keep a drink in your hand. We run for profit.
I didn't get much out of the doorman. He wanted a first mortgage to talk, but one of the busboys opened up. He told me that Ryan and the girl had brawled the night before. Also, that Ryan left the club for about an hour tonight. Well, that put him on the list anyway. But it began to look more and more like a one-horse race. Well, I got one other lead. A clarinet player in the band wanted to harmonize with Rita Malloy, but there wasn't much else to go on. And then I spotted the gal who had taken Rita Malloy's job in the show. She was just finishing her number, and so I followed her back to a dressing room. When she opened the door, I got a nice warm feeling like a melted cheese sandwich, and I was looking around for a rope to hang on. She was pretty. And when she said hello, you knew it was time to send in the varsity.
Good evening.
For some people, you mind if I come in?
Late in the season, I can't be choosy.
I'm Pat Novak.
I'm Tony Drake. What do I do, tremble?
Talk, mostly. Did you know Rita Malloy?
Around here, that was an occupational hazard.
The police think I killed her.
Did you?
No. When I got there, they were tearing down the goalposts.
Oh, that's too bad. I'd have been very grateful.
That's something I'd like to try.
Are you switching the topic, Mr. Novak, or have I been in the big city too long?
I just want to know who killed her. You got any ideas?
Nope.
How about your boss?
Maybe. She was getting a little frayed around the edges.
How's his temper?
No worse than a cobra's. He might have done it, but I doubt it.
Anybody else?
She was putting in a little overtime with a thug.
Not a big, porky guy with a deep voice?
I never saw him. I just heard that he was trying.
Must have been quite a line. Anybody else? How about that clarinet player?
No play. He was just a salmon swimming upstream.
I see. Well, do me a favor, will you, Tony?
All right. You only get one, so make it a good one.
They're tailoring me for a trip over the hill unless I show up with a fistful of answers. Now, can you give me a list of all of Rita Malloy's friends?
I can write them all down on a piece of confetti.
I mean everybody close to her. The people around the club here, the people on the outside. I'll pick it up in a half hour at your apartment.
At my apartment?
Yeah, at your apartment.
All right, don't get sore. I was just inquiring, not complaining.
All right. One other thing, Angel.
Yes, Patsy?
Don't forget to put yourself on that list. Be seeing you. Well, it was good to get out of there. When she started walking towards you, you felt like a shovel full of scrap iron in a Pittsburgh blast furnace. Well, I called up Jocko at headquarters. He didn't seem to be worried about me. He was thirsty. The guy on the boat hadn't been identified yet. The coroner said he died of severe bruises and that Rita Malloy checked out with a fractured skull. I gave Jocko Tony Drake's number, and I started for her apartment. I couldn't have done better with Aladdin's lamp. She had the list and a bottle on hand. I went over the list with her, and then it turned out she had insomnia. The radio was turned down to room temperature.
I was working on my fifth drink when the phone rang.
Oh, let it ring, Patsy.
Oh, I better get it, baby.
I think you're a sissy.
No, prison pallor wouldn't look good on me. Hello?
Patsy?
Yeah?
Are you busy?
Well, depends on your point of view. What's up?
I'm not tearing you away from that list of suspects.
Let's have it, Jocko.
They just identified the dead guy on your boat. His name is Bruno Swice. He's wanted in Miami, Florida. He's a hired gunman.
Good. Now jump over and see Paul Stengel at the Chronicle Morgue, huh?
I already have. There's no tie-up between Bruno Swice and Rita Malloy.
There's gotta be. Those two killings are tied up like ham and eggs.
Hellman just got a report from the Harbor Patrol. They found a buoy knocked out of place. They figure your boat did it and Bruno got killed in the crash.
What does that do to things?
Oh, it clarifies them enormously. This way, you're going to hang for only one murder. Good night, lover.
I knew Jocko was right. Hellman could rig me as long as he had only one case to work on. He's a single-celled animal, and this was just about big enough to fit into his brain. Well, I left Tony's apartment and I walked over to the El Palateo. Must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark enough for me to kick in a back window without being seen. I headed straight for Manny Ryan's office, and I started going through his stuff. It was like trying to separate a ton of salt and sugar dumped in the same bin. I went through most of the drawers, and in the last one, I got a hold of something. I grabbed the phone on Ryan's desk, and I called Hellman. Well, I wasn't sure, but I figured he could try this one on for size anyway.
Headquarters.
Give me Hellman and Homicide.
Yeah.
They must have put their best men on his trail because they found him inside a half hour.
Hello, Novak.
I'm in Manny Ryan's office. He owns the El Palateo. I just rifled his desk.
That's a minor offense for you.
I got a hold of last month's phone bill. Guess what?
It's too high.
The office put through two calls to Key West, Florida, the last part of this month.
4 o'clock. I'm barely interested. Go ahead.
Bruno Weiss hired out as a gunman. San Francisco is a long way from home plate. That means somebody sent for him.
And you're trying to put the finger on Manny Ryan.
That's right. That silver frame you picked up at Rita Malloy's? Take a look at the guy in it. That's her boyfriend, Manny Ryan.
We'll check on it. In the meantime, keep squirming, Novak. You look pretty.
Oh, you're smooth, Hellman.
Smart talk's not going to keep you out of the chair, Novak. Stay handy. We've only got a short extension cord.
Yeah, well... Hello, Hellman. Hello, Lupos. Frank, is Jocko Madigan there? Good. Put him on, huh? Hello, Jocko. Now, listen. I'm up at Manny Ryan's place. Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure, but I think that Ryan's the... My head must have looked like a jackpot. Everybody in town was hitting it. I rolled over and played dead for about 5 hours. It feels better when you've had a dress rehearsal. I woke up in my apartment. The sun was streaming through the window and hit the bed. I looked like the muslin counter after a sale. It turned out I was the host and didn't know it. Jocko was sitting at the table having breakfast. The bottle was almost half shot.
Good morning. How's the other world?
Can't you leave that stuff alone?
I know.
Do you have a headache?
A boozer,
of course I have a headache.
Well, I haven't, so stop lecturing me.
How'd I get up here?
I dragged you here by the heels. I met all the other hucksters on the way.
All right, stop being funny and help me up, huh?
I am the victim of a common error. You don't like me because I'm not entertaining when I drink. You don't object to my drinking. You object to my lack of wit.
Oh, shut up,
will you? Well, it's discouraging to be condemned on moral principle when it's really a flaw in nature. By the way, I think they're going to arrest you for the murder of Rita Malloy.
What about Ryan?
I've recommended clemency.
All right, come on. What about Ryan?
You bungled it. By the time Hellman got to him, he had an alibi all framed. The calls to Key West could have been made by anybody in the club, and Ryan's covered for the time of the murder.
How about the others?
They look good, too. Your girlfriend, Tony Drake, was gone for a while the night of the murder. Hellman won't bite. She's just sitting there ready to spring an alibi.
That's right. With legs like that, she can dig up a cousin.
You better get worried, Patsy.
I am. The El Palateo is a dead-end street. I don't know where to go from there. That guy Bruno in the boat could help. There's some connection between Bruno's wife and Rita Malloy.
You're the only connection I can think of.
Yeah.
Hello, Novak. This is Hellman.
Yeah?
You were right about Bruno's wife and Rita Malloy. We just went through her safety deposit box.
I'll bet you handled the money.
She had a clipping on Bruno's wife from a Miami paper, 1937.
Go on.
Divorce action between Zweiss and Miss Olga Pryor.
Well, did you look up Olga Pryor?
That's where we run out of gas. Nobody knew her. We have no description.
Well, how about Rita Malloy? Any dope on her before 1937?
I was going to ask you. You were in the room with her when she died, don't you know?
No, I don't.
I'm disappointed. I figured you'd know a little about her habits.
Huh?
You wrote the book, mister. I figured you for an answer.
Yeah, I got one. And you just gave it to me, Hellman.
Huh?
Meet me at the El Palateo in a half hour. Now, if you're a real good boy, I'll tell you who killed Rita Malloy.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
That's all I want to know, Novak.
Things were falling into place like a fixed roulette wheel. Right from the first, I knew that there was something goofy about the picture in Rita Malloy's hotel room. I wasn't sure. I just knew I had something in the back of my mind. I didn't tumble until Hellman tipped the mitt. And then everything was cakes and ale. I sent Jocko up to room 425 in the Royal Arms Hotel, and I told him to get a description of every dress in the closet. I checked at the desk, and I got the name of Rita Malloy's cleaners. I ducked over there, and I got a list of every dress that she turned in for 3 months. I met Jocko, and we compared the list of dresses. Well, it jibed fine, except for one thing. There was a missing white dress. It had been to the cleaners before. It wasn't there now, and it wasn't in that hotel room. Well, we went over to the El Palateo to find it. Jocko didn't want to buy the scheme at all.
Patsy, I protest the notion of breaking into a lady's dressing room.
Oh, stop worrying, will you? She's not going to be there.
Then it's futile as well as immodest. Besides, how do you know Rita didn't throw away the dress?
I'll give you better than track odds on that one, Jocko. Here we are. Come on. Now, look, you take the closets and find that white dress. I'm going through the desk for grease paint.
You should be going through a woman's closet. It's more in the nature of things.
Just look, huh? Well, there's enough grease paint here for the whole Iroquois tribe. Did you find anything?
Yes. Watch this.
Just look for the white dress, Jocko. Hey, what's that in the corner?
Where?
Over here.
I don't see anything.
Well, down here, look, see?
Oh.
Well, well. That feels good, doesn't it, Jocko? Like a spell of perfect weather.
Same grease paint?
Well, it won't take us long to check. Here, you open a couple of these jars.
Don't forget your apron, Patsy.
Hello, Tony.
What are you doing?
Getting ready to build a fire under you. You're going to make nice smoke, too.
I liked you better when you were dumb, Patsy. You don't look good with a Ph.D.
Oh, put away the gun, baby. Remember, this is your second trip to the plate.
Give me the dress, Patsy.
It won't fit.
I'll worry about that. Just toss it over by the door here.
I'll do better. I'll bring
Stay
it.
Stay where you are, Patsy.
It's my ticket out, chum.
You're a good guy, Patsy. Stay out of my way.
It's your role, baby.
Patsy! Patsy, please stay away from me.
Come on, give me that gun.
Patsy, please!
Give me that gun!
Sorry, Patsy. That's all I could do.
Yeah, sure. You want to take a look at her, Jocko?
Put her down on the floor.
Yeah. What do you say, Jocko?
No dice.
Well, you can't win them all, Tony.
You play too rough, Patsy.
You still got a good batting average, Novak.
Hello, Hellman. You better make a fast pinch.
She do it?
Yeah.
She got kind of clumsy in the last round, didn't she?
Not at all, Copper. They had me coming and going. When you're as far back as I am, they don't pick up the option.
Let's get out of here, Jocko. I'll check with you later, Hellman.
Be a good boy, Patsy. I'm going to miss you. You are getting to be my favorite hobby.
Yeah.
I don't know how you were on the distance stuff, but you were sure something on the sprints.
Yeah. Be nice to her, Copper. She could go in the mud herself. Well, it was blackmail, of course. Tony was once married to Bruno's wife. Rita Malloy found out and started to squeeze Tony. Well, Tony wouldn't buy that, so she killed Rita Malloy in her hotel room. She made one mistake. I didn't tumble until Hellman mentioned a woman's habits. Then I knew what was wrong with that picture back in Malloy's hotel room. It hit me like a discordant note in music. Rita Malloy was lying on the floor in a dressing gown, but she was still wearing her bracelet and necklace. Well, when a woman undresses, she always takes her jewelry off first, and then she takes off her dress. Rita Malloy didn't do that, so I took a flyer and decided that somebody had taken the dress off her and put on a dressing gown. Why? Well, because there was something wrong with the dress. It pointed too much in one direction. Well, it could be a lot of things, but probably grease paint. Tony called Bruno out here. He was supposed to use my boat to dump the body, and when he didn't make it, Tony got scared and lugged away the dress. My 70 bucks? Well, it would have looked better on a fixed fight. Well, Hellman asked only one question. How did I happen to know that when a woman undresses, she always takes off her jewelry first? I must have read it somewhere.
The Armed Forces Radio Service has just brought you Pat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb.
Pat Novak for Hire, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 1st of May, 1949 on ABC, and later rebroadcast on Armed Forces Radio. That wraps up this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for listening.